This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
All right. Well, good morning. How are we doing this morning? Pretty good. That's a little better than first service. Of course, there's more of you, but nevertheless, glad you're here today. My name is Brandon Johnson. I'm the community pastor here at the Ark Church, and I have a message to be able to speak to you. And before we get started this morning, I just want to thank Pastor Al and Miss Joy for giving me the opportunity. Truly appreciate them. The topic of what I want to talk to you about today is how to respond to problems and challenges when you feel like you can't. When you feel like the problem, the obstacle, the challenge is just a little too big for the resources you have. It takes just a little more strength than what you have. You know, there's a story about a woman named Gladys, and she had died and gone to heaven. And as soon as she got to heaven, she saw St. Peter at the gate. St. Peter met her, and St. Peter said, "Hey, Gladys, welcome to heaven." And she said, "Oh, thank you, St. Peter. What do I got to do to get in the gate?" And Peter told her, "Well, it's really easy. All you got to do is spell a word." She said, "Really? That's it?" She said, "Well, what word do I have to spell?" He told her, "Well, all you have to do is spell a word that you can choose." She said, "Oh, this is easy. I choose the word love, L-O-V-E. Peter said, "Congratulations, you get to enter into heaven." She said, "Wow, this is awesome." She gets to walk in, and right before she gets in, Peter tells her, "Hey, wait a second real quick. Since this is a big, big house with lots and lots of food, what I want to do is, if you wouldn't mind just staying here, and I go out and I grab some Papacitos, I'll be right back. Is that okay?" And she says, "Okay, great." So he ends up going, St. Peter leaves, and she's standing by the gate. And as she's standing there, she sees this man start walking towards her. She's like, "I recognize him." She realizes it's her husband, Martin. She says, "Martin, what are you doing here?" And Martin tells her, "Well, I was actually just at your funeral, and I missed you so much, and I couldn't take my mind off you that all of a sudden I got distracted and I drove the car off a cliff." He goes, "But now I'm here in heaven with you. We get to spend all of eternity together." And then he asked her, so what do I have to do to get in?" She told him, "Oh, it's really simple. All you have to do is spell a word." He said, "Okay, really? That's it? Fabulous. What word do I have to spell?" She said, "Czechoslovakia." "All right." It's a good relationship, right? Some of you have that relationship with your spouse, all right? You know, but that would be a problem, right? That may present somewhat of a problem. You know, I was thinking my 8-year-old just recently had a problem. And, you know, it was an 8-year-old problem. We were recently at Disney World, and we're going on all the rides, and everything is fun. And then she decides she wants to go on the fast ride. And Brittany and I kind of looked at each other like, "Well, I guess she's tall enough, so let's let her go." And we end up letting her go on this ride, and she's having a blast. She's screaming, and she's kind of a wild child, and she's kind of going crazy. And then all of a sudden, this ride, it hits a point where you're looking over the entire park, and it just stops. And it starts backing up, going backwards. And at this point, she gets like those big eyes, and you can tell she's petrified. She's, Dad, I'm done. "Dad, I can't do this. Dad, we need to leave. Dad." And as a good parent, I was thinking to myself, "Well, what do I do?" And the only thing I could think to do is just to reassure her. So I'm like, "Hey, it's okay, sweetheart. You can do this. We're going to do this together. This is fun. This is fun." And all of a sudden, it starts going faster. And she's like, "This is not fun." I'm like, "It's okay. It's fun." I'm like, just believe it. Just believe it. And all of a sudden, the ride stops, and then it starts going forward again. I'm like, "See, sweetheart, it's going to be okay. Like, let's just, you know, let's have fun. See, this is fun." She goes, "Okay, Dad, this is fun." I'm like, "Come on, sweetheart. This is fun." She's like, "Okay. Hey, this is fun." I'm like, "See, this is awesome." She's like, "Yeah, this is fun." And all of a sudden, the roller coaster drops straight down. She's like, "Dad, you tricked me." All right. That is my world right there. That was a challenge, though, to her. You know, I remember it was probably within the last 6 months or so that I was sleeping one night, and I woke up to tears. And I look over, and my wife right next to me is bawling. So I look over, and I'm like, "Oh, is the Hallmark Channel on?" And it wasn't. But I look over at her, and it was actually kind of serious. It was actually really serious. In fact, she said that she had chest pain, back pain. She couldn't even move. And I had never seen her like this before. I'm like, "Man, we're like 32. What is going on?" Like, we're too young to have these issues. But I ended up taking her to the emergency room. It was a serious situation. I mean, literally every time she moved, she was in pain. Never seen anything like this. And the doctors gave her some medicine. And over the next couple weeks, eventually she was all right. Praise the Lord. But I got to tell you, what happened a couple weeks after that didn't make me all right. And I got the bill for the thing. And I'm just going to be honest with you. See, they laughed at me in first service. It's not supposed to be funny, all right? This was a huge bill. I'm being serious. I got this massive bill. I'm thinking to myself, on a serious note, how do I pay for this? Like, this was way beyond what I ever expected. It was a few weeks after that. I'm driving my car, And all of a sudden, the engine shuts off. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I ended up taking it into the shop. And then on top of the medical bill, they ended up charging me even more for my vehicle. And I know you laughed at me, but nevertheless, this was a real situation for me. This was a situation where I was thinking to myself, what do I do? I don't have the finances to be able to just go ahead and take care of this. What am I going to do? You ever been in a situation where you said those words? What am I going to do? Where you wonder yourself, how is this supposed to happen? I just feel like I can't. You know, sometimes there are times in our lives where we feel like we can't get through this relationship. Maybe something in your marriage. Maybe you experienced that. Maybe even recently. You know, oftentimes for me, I had a financial deal. You just wonder, how am I going to get over this hump? I just can't seem to do this. How do I? I just feel like I can't. Oftentimes there's things in our jobs. Maybe you're looking for a job and you just feel like, what is going on? Or maybe there's a problem at your job, trying to connect with your boss, trying to get sales up, and it just feels like you can't. You know, all of us go through these times. And this morning we're going to look at a story where Jesus helps his disciples because his disciples get put in a position where they feel like they clearly can't. They just can't do the task at hand. We're going to look at that in a second. Now, I want to set the story up. We're going to, our verses this morning are going to be out of Mark chapter 6. And the story is set up by something really bad happening. John the Baptist is beheaded by King Herod. And John the Baptist and Jesus and disciples were extremely close. He was one of Jesus' closest disciples. And you picture this, if you had one of your closest friends die, let alone die like that, that is something hard to swallow. That is a problem. That is a challenge. And as a result, Jesus and the disciples, they go off into the water and they're just trying to get some time to just grieve and just relax and remember his life. And as that's happening, there's somebody who happens to spot them. And the guy spots them and he goes back and he tells the entire village that Jesus is here. You got to understand, back in that day, when you saw Jesus, it was clear. When you saw Jesus, you told everybody you knew because Jesus was the one who could heal people. Jesus was the one who could do incredible things. So this guy goes back to his village and tells everyone. And pretty soon, within just a short amount of time, what happens? There's hundreds of people. And then there's thousands of people. And Jesus is on the water and they're parallel to him on the beach, on the shore. And they're trying to figure out, okay, where is he going to dock? Where is he going to go? We need to find Jesus. You know what? Jesus had an opportunity. He could have either said, hey guys, I just need to grieve, or he could do what he did, and he goes towards them. It was because of his love for them, he goes towards them. In the midst of this time, in the midst of this emotional moment, he puts his own agenda off to the side, and he goes towards the people. The Bible says that he gets out of the boat and begins to heal people. And there's thousands of people. I mean, I literally picture this scenario. Like back in the day, Jesus was like a celebrity. It was almost kind of like these Donald Trump rallies. Donald Trump shows at a spot. Like if Donald Trump was to show up in Conroe, I guarantee thousands of people would go there, okay? It may be a crazy type thing. I've never been to one of his rallies. But all of a sudden, people show up. That's literally like what it was when Jesus showed up. Everybody's like, oh, Jesus here? Okay, we gotta go. And when Jesus was there, he began to heal people. And he did this for hours. In hours. And then he began to teach people. Despite what was going on in his life, he began to teach them. And you can imagine how incredible this must have been if you were just a spectator. Look at all these people that were healed. I know this lady. She got healed. Look at the... Man, listen to this guy teach. And it would have been incredible. Would have been an absolutely incredible moment. Well, as all that's going on, take a guess, because now it's later in the day. The people are getting hungry. And the disciples recognize that. And they were the ultimate pragmatists. And they go up to Jesus and they're like, hey, Jesus, we're going to take care of this for you. All the people are hungry. So why don't you go ahead and just send them away for us? And I know we're kind of in the middle of nowhere. Let's send them back to their villages. That'll solve the problem. We good with that, Jesus? And Jesus responds to them with three words. And these three words create a massive problem for them. Something they could not have expected. Something that when they woke up this morning, they did not expect to have. And Jesus tells them, you feed them. You feed them. The impossible task. And can you imagine, as the disciples heard those words, they probably looked over the crowd. And scholars think there were probably somewhere in the ballpark of 15 to 20,000 people there that day. That's a lot of people. In this room, I'd probably guess there's probably under 2,000 people. So you can imagine 10 times the people that are in this room. Can you imagine that? I mean, unbelievable. And Jesus says, you get to feed them all. You know, their response was, yeah, right. There's no way this is going to happen. You know, the response to Jesus was literally, Jesus, we can't do this. And Jesus pushes back and he says, here's what I want you guys to do. He was testing their faith, by the way. He wanted to see what they were going to say. But he pushes back and he says, hey guys, I want you to go out and I want you to find me something. Find me some food. So they go out. You can imagine this task may have been a little humiliating because they continue to hear the word no. They're getting rejected. Almost kind of like a, you know, kind of on sales calls. No, 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 no. Do you have any food? No. Did you guys bring any food? No. You know, people came spur of the moment, so it makes sense. And all of a sudden, this little boy walks up to him, and probably out of pity, he gives him his little 5 loaves of bread and his 2 fish. And they take it, and, you know, I can imagine they probably thought to themselves, this is completely pointless. What is this going to do? Jesus gave us this task. This is ridiculous. We got to feed all these people. Thank you, little boy, but this is pointless. But you know what? The master told them to go find him something. So they're probably thinking to themselves, you know what? We're going to do what he told them. He told us to find him some food. You know what? This is all we got. We're just going to bring it back to him. So they bring Jesus back the food. He takes it. And then Jesus splits the people up from these massive numbers to these smaller groups of 50 and 100. And then Jesus takes the food. He begins to bless it, thanks God for it, prays over it. And then what happens next is incredible. And one day we're in heaven. I want to ask Jesus how this happened. But he begins to break the bread, and the bread begins to multiply. And as he's doing this, he's breaking bread, and you can picture these big old piles of bread, and everybody must have been like, what is going on? And he keeps breaking the bread, and the disciples would take the bread, and they would take it to the different groups. And then he keeps making more groups and more groups of bread, and he keeps breaking the bread, and it just continues to multiply. It's almost regenerating. And this is crazy. Can you imagine if you're just sitting there, and you're like, what is happening? I've never seen anything like this before. Then Jesus does it with a fish. He breaks the fish, and then there's these massive piles of fish, and the disciples are feeding everybody. And the Bible says that Jesus did this incredible miracle. It was so incredible that everybody had enough food to eat. Wow. What an absolutely incredible miracle. And Jesus was trying to teach his disciples something. He was trying to teach them that on their own, they couldn't make this happen. But with him, all things were possible. With Jesus, all things were possible. And they didn't get it at first, but Jesus was trying to help them with this. And this morning, I want to look at three things that I observed from this story that I think will be helpful and applicable to your life. Here's the first thing. The first thing is that when Jesus told his disciples, he told his disciples that they needed to go look for answers, and then they needed to take those answers back to him. I'll say it again. Jesus told his disciples, go look for answers. Well, they didn't want to, but he told them, find those answers and bring them back to me. Here's what the scripture says. It says, he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go look. Go look. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Jesus was telling them, hey guys, go look. You know, this is, faith is something that's completely counterintuitive because our natural reaction is over here and faith is completely over here. And these guys, they must have thought to themselves, this is completely pointless. But Jesus was trying to teach them to give him something to work with. I'm going to pause there because I want you guys to see this from this story. Jesus was teaching the disciples to give him something to work with. This is what he looks for in our lives. Whenever we come up against a challenge, think about it. It's completely contrary to our nature to begin to go and look. It's like, why would I go and look? This obstacle is too big. Why? It almost seems pointless. But Jesus tells him, go and look. Go look. You know, I kind of think about it like this. Sometimes when people think about faith, they think about it only in the context of just belief. And that is true. But when you look at the Greek word and you look at the story and the context, faith, in my mind, involves two parts. It involves praying hands and moving feet. And sometimes people only get the praying hands part. And the praying hands is biblical. The praying hands is where we ask God, God, this is what I found. I've gone out there and God, I pray that you would use this. And it's the bread and it's the fish. And God, here's what I got. But there's also the moving feet part. And you notice this, Jesus told the disciples, go out there, do something. And Jesus puts human responsibility on these disciples and he puts it on us. And he tells us, despite what you're going through, if you'll still go out there, it's totally contrary to your nature, but get out there, start looking for answers and offer me these answers, I'll do something incredible. You know, I remember it was about 10 years ago, I was getting ready to graduate college and I was getting ready to get married. And I had this problem, it was a big problem. I didn't have a job and I needed one. And I had just hoped that, you know, certain things were going to work out, and they didn't work out. So I began to practice this. I began to put this into practice. I began to go out and look. and put out resumes and talk to people and do things on my end, do the very best that I could. And as I was doing that, I got two opportunities back. One was pretty good and one was awesome. I remember thinking to myself, oh yeah, thank you, Lord. I did my part. I went out there and Lord, thank you for your blessing. And this is great. And the only problem was when I did the second part to faith, when I began to offer it to God, all of a sudden I sensed, no, there's something that's about this is not right. It's like, no, it must just be me. I began to justify things. And the more I began to pray about it, offer it to God and pray, I realized something about this is not right. But I didn't have an answer. I had an answer, but I didn't have the answer. But all I could do is offer it to God. It was about a few days later, I got a phone call from my brother's old youth pastor in California. He said, hey, Brandon, we've got an opportunity out here. If you guys are interested in it, why don't you guys come out and, you know, we'll kind of see what happens. And I remember thinking to myself, I want to go out to California, man. Those people are crazy, all right? I'm not about to do that. But I felt like the Lord was in it. Remember, I had an answer. It wasn't the answer, but it was an answer. And I gave it to God. And all of a sudden, I began to feel peace about it. So we went out there. And long story short, we ended up taking that job and living out there for 5 years. But I remember looking back on that story, I remember thinking to myself, wow, like, thank you, God. See, what God did was he honored me going and looking. And then in addition, when I went and looked for all these job opportunities, he honored me offering this up to him. And he'll do the same thing in your life. He expects both, though. He expects both the human responsibility part, where we have to act. Well, I don't want to act, Brandon. I know you don't want to act, but he tells us that we need to. And then once we have done everything we can, we offer it to God and say, God, here's what I got. So this morning, let me pause and just ask you a quick question. Two quick questions. The first one is this. Despite your obstacle, despite whatever challenge is kind of going on in your life right now, have you been looking for answers? Has the obstacle stopped you? Maybe, you know, in some part of the process, have you just given up? I'll encourage you this morning, don't give up. Keep going. There is an answer out there, but God puts the responsibility on us. Faith isn't simply intellectual and saying, I believe. It's also action. It's the hands and the feet. It's both. So let's pause. I want to ask you one more question. I already asked you about the answering part, going out there and finding for answers. I want to ask you this, though. Once you find those answers, have you been praying over them? The Lord can give you a peace. He can also do the opposite. He can give you an unpeace to the point where you're like, I know this is not the right option. God, I'm trusting you. You know what oftentimes I find? We tend to be good at one or the other of these. So there are some people that are really good at the praying part. And they're like, God, I'm just praying and believing. And God, thank you so much for everything you're going to do. But then when it comes to acting, they're like, well, I don't know. God's going to, you know. And then there are other people that are the movers and shakers, and they love to go out there and act and do it all. And they're like, well, the praying, you know, God's going to. Well, it's both. It's both. It's and. God, when we give God our praying hands and our moving feet, God responds to that. Here's the second observation I make from this story. When I look at it, I see that Jesus is preparing their hearts. He's preparing them to expect something big. Jesus is preparing the people to expect something big. And here's how he does it. Let's look at the scripture. It tells us this. He commanded them to sit down by groups on the green grass. And they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Jesus is setting this tone. Hey guys, something's coming. Something's coming. Get ready. And you know, if you think about it, and you're one of those people, and remember, we're talking thousands of people. This room times 10. And you know, you're out there and all of a sudden Jesus says, move. All of a sudden you're like, why are we moving? Okay. And all of a sudden people get into groups and he tells them to sit down. You're like, this would have denoted and it would have given the idea that we're about to eat. But here's the thing. Before people ever ate, before anything ever happened, Jesus was preparing their hearts. And that's exactly what he does for us. He prepares our hearts. He sets our hearts up with an expectation. And he wants us to expect something good before it ever happens. It's interesting that Jesus chooses to have them expect something good before it ever happens. He could have done it the opposite way. But for whatever reason, Jesus looks at us and he says, hey, I want you to have faith. I want you to believe. Before that ever happens, expect something good. There's an interesting story from a Harvard psychologist named Robert Rosenthal. And he did this study on a group of elementary students in San Francisco. And he gave all the students just a basic IQ test. And he told the teachers, he actually lied to the teachers. He said that, he told the teachers that this was a test that was going to be able to measure incredible academic and intellectual growth this year. So the teachers were all excited. They're like, oh, okay, let's take a look. You know, what? Who are going to be my star students this year? And right before they took the test, Robert actually randomly selected the different kids. And they gave them to the teachers. So the teachers had identified, these are going to be the kids that are going to do great things. And the teachers then began to expect the students to do great things that year. As a result of them expecting, many of the students began to grow in incredible ways. The teachers began to spend more time with them. The teachers began to look at them different because their hearts had been prepared because they were expecting something great. And at the end of the year, they gave the kids the same test again just to see how they did. And the kids that were selected in second grade grew an average of 16 IQ points. In first grade, the kids that were selected and that were expected to do great gained an extra 26 IQ points by the end of the year. There was even one child who was considered mentally handicapped, and he went from an IQ of 61 to 106. What am I telling you? Because the teacher's expectations had risen for the kids, all of a sudden, the results rose. God looks at us and he says, are you expecting something good? You know, once you've done your part, you can only do so much. You know, this is where sometimes we just have to lay off the control and go, God, I've done everything I can. I've given it to you. God, now I'm going to expect something great. I'm going to believe that you're a big, powerful God. I'm going to believe that you've got this handled. Sometimes we think we need to tell God how to handle things. And God's saying, hey, just believe. Expect something great. I know there's not a miracle yet, but expect something great to happen. Let me give you a quick illustration. Before I show you a picture, I want you in just a second to look for the word good. G-O-O-D, okay? I'm going to put up in just a second a picture. And as soon as you see the picture, I want you to look for the word good. Are you ready? You can take a look at either of the screens. Ready, set, go. Now take it down. Did you see the word good? Raise your hand if you saw it. It's okay if you didn't see it. We're not going to like throw you out or something, okay? You didn't see the word good? Get out of here, all right? No, here's why I did that. I want you to put it back up for me real quick. In that word, there are probably many things you can see, right? If you're a psychologist, they could tell me all kinds of things. But there are two words in this. Now, how many of you see evil now? Can you see evil? Evil's in there. But here's what's interesting. Some of you, if I would have put this up and I would have told you what to look for, you may have seen evil, you may have seen good, you may have seen one of your family members. I don't know what you would have seen, all right? But the fact that, right, some of them are evil. We won't go there, all right? But the fact that you were able to see good, why were you able to see good? Because you were looking for it. Oftentimes in life, we tend to see what we're looking for. And I just want to encourage you this morning. Look for God to do great things in your life. Expect it. Why live a life that just expects bad things to happen? Why live a life that expects evil? That's not worth it. Live a life that expects God to do great things. Once you've encountered your obstacle and you've done everything you can only do so much. Expect God to then do his part. God can do great things in your life. Now, let me pause for a second. I want to ask you another question, all right? Here's the question. What are you expecting God to do right now in your life? What are you expecting him to do? Are you expecting him to do miraculous things? Are you expecting him to do great things? Do you have something specific? This morning, I just want to encourage you. Maybe you've never thought about that before. Maybe you have in the past, and maybe you just don't have something that quite fits that slot. I want to encourage you this morning, despite your obstacle, despite the challenges going on, believe God is going to do something good. I love Mark 11:24, and it tells us that whatever we ask for in his name, it's going to happen. You can believe on that. There are scriptures you can stand on. We can expect God to do something great. Now, here's kind of the third and final observation I make when I read the story. Third one is this, that God's help, or rather Jesus' help to us, comes from his love for us. Jesus' help to us comes from his love for us. If you look in the story, I want to take a look at the scripture. Here's what it tells us. It says, when Jesus went ashore, this is in the beginning of the story. This is what sets all this up. When he goes ashore, he saw a large crowd. And you remember what he's going through, right? He's going through this time where one of his best friends had just, been murdered. It says, he saw a large crowd and he felt compassion for them, because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. He began to teach them many things. What's interesting in the Greek about that word compassion is it denotes the deepest longing of the human soul. Do you understand that? When Jesus saw the people, he had the deepest human possible longing for them. because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. He had such a deep love for him, such a deep love for all the disciples, such a deep love for every single person that was there that day. And it was real and it was tangible. And it was so real that that's actually what caused him to help the people, to go push his own needs aside and to help the people despite their need. That's the kind of God that we serve. When Jesus looks at you, he has that same compassion towards you. He has that same love towards you. That's how he sees you. You have to understand, Jesus has such a deep, special love for you. Now, as a result of that love, I want to share one more scripture with you, and let's take a look at what happened as a result of that love. Scripture says this: they all ate, and they were satisfied, and they picked up 12 full baskets of the broken pieces and also of the fish. See what happened? Because of Jesus' love for the people, because it was so real and undeniable, it caused Jesus to do this miracle. And you got to notice, Jesus doesn't just do the miracle. He does it with an abundance. There was food left over. And one of my favorite things probably about this story is that you notice that the scripture said there were 12 baskets left over. And you know what that reminds me of? The same way there were 12 baskets left over, there were 12 disciples. And I think somewhere in that story, Jesus was telling them, hey guys, each of you get a basket, and it's a reminder that if you will trust in me, if you will remember how much I love you, how much I'm here to help you, I will take care of you for the rest of your life. I believe Jesus says the same thing to us this morning. If you'll remember how deep his love is for you, he will take care of you for the rest of your life. He will always be there to help you. You know, several years ago, as we close, my wife and I were experiencing a challenge, a major challenge. We were trying to have children and we weren't able to. This was a huge obstacle for us. We were trying to get past this and we didn't know how to. And as we began to embark on this, we began to seek God and look for answers. Remember, moving feet, praying hands. And that's what we were doing. We were trying to find everything that we could to solve this. And as we began to do so, we felt like God was leading in the direction towards the medical route. And we began to look into the procedures and things of that nature, and we ended up going through them until one day we got an answer back that even though we had gone through all these tests and all these procedures, we still weren't able to get pregnant. Now, I remember just taking a step back and saying, God, I've done everything I can. I've gone in search, and I've prayed, and I've been believing. Man, my faith was strong, and what's going on? And I wanted to give up, and we wanted to give up, but instead of giving up, we continued and we repeated the process again. It was totally counterintuitive. It went against everything we wanted to do, but we knew that's what we were supposed to do. And as we went back through the process again, we began to look again and search all of our resources and find everything that we could. So we began to go through that. We began to have this thought, and this thought just dropped in our minds one day. What about adopting? We'd never thought about it before, but as we took that thought and all the other resources and threw it up to God and just prayed, we felt like there was something to it. So we began to look into the process more and we began to investigate, and all of a sudden we felt like God's in this. And we began to get training and we began to get certified. And I remember one day we were actually in the finalists. We were the final candidates for these two little girls. And I remember we were so excited until I got a phone call. And our adoption director told us, hey, Brandon, I'm really sorry. There's another couple that's been selected before you. And we were so, at that point, we're just like, what are we supposed to do, Lord? And we just took a second. We remembered, you know what? God, you're in control. We remember your love for us. We remember you're taking care of us, God. And we just trusted God. It was a few days later, we got another call. And as soon as that other call came in, it was the adoption director again. He said, hey, Brandon, you're never going to believe this, but we had the couple that was in front of you end up backing out. He said, do you guys want to proceed forward? I said, of course we want to proceed forward. Absolutely. And now, long story short, over the last couple years, we've had our beautiful daughters, and I'll show you a picture of them. Their names are Emily and Annalise, but these guys are a miracle from God. You have to remember that God is on our side. He's there to help us. He's not there to hurt us. He's not there to talk down to you. He cares about you deeply. God has such a deep love for you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? You may be here this morning and maybe you need to experience the love of Christ. You know, the scripture says that whoever believes in Jesus will have eternal life. And this morning, there may be some of you that maybe you've never chose to put your faith in Jesus. Maybe there's others of you this morning that maybe you did it one time, but it's just been a while and you need to come back to him. If either of those situations are you this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to Jesus. He has such a deep love for you. And we're not going to do anything weird. We're not going to call you down or ask you to come to the front. But if that's you this morning, you say, Brandon, I want to respond to Jesus this morning. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I would love to pray for you. Say, Brandon, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus. I'll give you just a few more seconds. If that's you this morning, I want to give you that opportunity. I'm going to respond to Jesus this morning. Just a few more seconds. It's awesome. You can put your hands down. Here's the last thing I'd like to share with you just before we pray and wrap up. If you're here this morning, you'd say, Brandon, I'm experiencing an obstacle, but I'm going to believe that God is going to help me get through this. I'm going to believe that I can do all things through Christ. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you raise your hand as a sign of faith? I believe that God is going to empower you. He's going to help you. He is with you. He has not left your side. That's awesome. Here's what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to pray a quick prayer, and I'm just asking that you repeat this after me, and then I'm going to end us today in prayer. Would you repeat this after me? Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior, and I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross for my sins, and God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and the one who restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven, and I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Thank you, God, for every person that's in this room today. God, thank you that we can put our trust in you. Obstacles are going to come in our lives, God, but we learn from what you've taught us today that we have our responsibility, but as we do our part, God, you are more than faithful to do your part. Thank you, God, for involving us in miracles. God, you could do it all on your own, but you want to involve us. So help us, God, to remember that, Lord. When we feel like we can't, help us to remember that you're right by our side. Thank you for your deep love for us. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about The Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.